Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
1, 2, 1, 2. Check it, check it, check it out. It's the crazy storm. Check it, check it, check it out, yo. I'll take you to the top. Yo, get live. Nobody fly it and fly ride. Couple guys from the city and you know Mac Wiles we own. Life of the party, my boy home. That's Mouse Jones.
It's the crazy.
Happy Monday.
It is Black History Month still.
Man.
And we are still kicking it with our people, Martell. Shout out to Martell. We
feels
appreciate
good to be black.
You.
Feels good to be black. There we go.
I like that. Ryan.
Yes.
What's your favorite black person from a cartoon?
My favorite black person from a cartoon? I have a couple.
Okay.
Static Shock
is a good one. That's a good one.
Okay.
My man Gerald.
Gerald was a good friend.
From
Hey Arnold.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Gerald was a good friend.
Okay.
I got Susie from Rugrats.
Okay. Susie, fire.
Susie.
Love Susie.
Could be president. Not going to lie to you.
I agree.
She could have been a president.
She might be Michelle Obama. I'm not going to lie to you.
Think she,
she would be president.
Green Lantern.
President. Yeah, you're right.
Which, John. Come on, you know this one. I know who you're talking
John
about.
John Stewart.
Yeah. You know, I could go on and on.
Yep.
That's four. Give me one more.
I like the folks.
Give me one more.
You said cartoon. We're
going cartoon.
Keeping cartoon.
I didn't say cartoon. I just said TV show.
No, you said cartoon.
I said TV show. But you went cartoons?
I went cartoons.
I love cartoons.
I only went cartoons because when I was doing my tattoos on my leg, I was going over all the black characters.
So give me one more.
Raphael, the Ninja Turtle, he's black.
I agree.
He's not black.
He's not black.
Has to be.
Come on, let's go. Give it to me. Yeah. Come on, make it make sense.
What? They're from New York. They're from the gutter.
Yeah.
From the streets.
No pun intended.
We all know rats. We not got to be cool with them, but we know them.
Yeah, but they was father by the way.
Nah, they got away. They got rid of them. Pizza, loved it.
Loved
it. Black people love pizza now?
Yeah.
Like, love it?
You mean it's more of an Italian thing? Is that what you're trying to
do? New York. That's what we could afford. Dallas, little, you feel what I'm saying?
Touche.
I'm not mad.
But why him out of the four? Is he the black one?
No, they all black.
Oh, okay. Now we're getting somewhere.
There we go. Take that. I'll go. There we go. I hate it bad.
I only said Raphael because R always resonated with me.
Ryan,
as
yeah, I get it. Okay. Show, I'm not going to lie to you. Hate it bad, but I'll
cool.
go with it. It was
cool.
good.
Score me.
I need your five.
Cartoons? Are we doing cartoons?
Stay with cartoons. You guys stay with cartoons.
Five. That's
you only
crazy. Five cartoons.
Because you asked for one, and then
you gave me five, so I like the five.
Because I was just listening.
I know. Nah, give me a thought.
Five. Just do
black
one.
TV.
Just do one.
Okay. Let me see. Five.
You gonna go Black Power Ranger?
I mean, he was.
Now, if somebody did it to you, you'd be so.
No. I was saying in general, like, because I was thinking a real person, but.
All right,
my fault.
Five.
Yeah,
I want Huey from
the Boondocks. Mm-hmm. All right. Shout out to Regina King.
That was good.
Give me Riley as well.
Bang! Shout out to Regina King. Okay.
Gotta do them both.
Hey, yo, that sounds crazy.
Whoa, that was wild. I am so sorry, Martell.
God
that was,
bless.
It was very, very.
Bless your
very,
heart.
Very crazy.
God bless
him. Afro Samurai.
All right. You want to be? All right, you're getting weird.
I want Afro Samurai.
Bring it back.
Let's do it. Come on, bring it back to us. Come on.
Give me.
Don't know what that is. Let's go there.
You know who else was black, but they colored him? Well, give me Piccolo from Dragon Ball Z.
Piccolo, well, you're definitely one of them.
He was one of them. He was one of them. He's a bald.
Yep.
Bald green cat.
With the little.
He was always tight. He was always tighter than jealous of Goku.
Yes.
Dang, that gotta be the black.
And he raised Goku's son.
Oh, did
his stepfather?
Yep.
He black.
Black.
Absolutely black.
One more. We have four.
Blacker than black. We have four. Give me to finish up. Skeeter from Doug.
Okay. Black too. All right. The fact that no one went real people, he's pissing me off. Okay.
He was not.
You
right.
know why? You know why we go cartoons? Because once we name the real people, then I really start to think who they are. And I'd be like, no, I don't. Mm-mm.
All right. Five. I'm not going cartoons. I'm not going to lie.
You don't got to go five.
I'm not going five cartoons. All right. Zach. I'm going Zach.
Okay.
Zach had a terrible hairline.
Who's that?
Black Ranger.
Oh, okay, okay.
Black Ranger, Zach Taylor. Black Ranger, terrible hairline, but he could dance really good.
He had the oval.
It was just an oval.
He used to get crazy with the dances.
If you knew your haircut was that bad,
you got to overcompensate.
You got to overcompensate.
You always
got to
move around. So
there was no corner. You cannot find a. You could not find.
By the way.
Yeah, he'd be outside.
He's in L.A.
He'd be outside.
Nah, he'd be in L.A.
He'd be outside.
Trying to figure it out.
I wonder what that was like in the 90s. Like, what, like, you get off set and you got to go home and you go to your neighborhood or whatever and they, and you...
You think he's from a black neighborhood?
Not with that haircut.
He's not from a black neighborhood.
No.
The actor, Zach, absolutely. The actor who plays Zach, he's not from a black neighborhood.
To get into the casting at that time, his
there was parents, no way.
All right. Touche.
So I got Zach Taylor. Mm-hmm. It's going to sound biased. Michael Lee. I don't care how you feel about it.
Who is these people?
I'll take it. Me. I'm from The Wire.
I never watched it.
It's all right. But Michael Lee. I'm not going to play with you. It sounds biased and all.
No, I get you.
But it changed.
Because you thought that was you.
And you ain't lying.
It turned into you. Anyway.
You're definitely not lying. Three. Okay. You can get mad at me.
Oh, Lord.
Don't care. Cameron's character from
Killer Season.
Killer Season. Bang.
You said
TV. He played himself.
I said TV. I take it back.
He said he played himself.
Reel it back. I said TV. I take it back. Eddie Winslow. Eddie Winslow.
Okay.
I don't agree with him.
All right.
He was a king sucker.
Oh, dear.
What about he was mad cool.
What about now?
Keep going. Who's your last? We can research it. This episode is a sponsored
piece.
This is
nuts.
It's a sponsored piece. Sorry.
All right, last two. Okay, here we go. Wendell.
That sounds familiar.
Parenthood.
Okay.
Donald Faison.
There you go.
Yeah, that's my man.
There you go.
Is it Faison Love?
No, Faison Love. Faison
Love, but Wendell.
Faisalino.
And last but not least, Martin Lawrence. Easy.
Okay.
Easy.
You don't got to give us five.
I'm not.
He said, I'm not.
I decided that. But I am going to give you a deep cut that y'all
overlooked. Ooh.
Okay, let's do it. That's a cartoon.
Mm. All right.
Waynehead.
Ooh. Dog.
I've been watching Waynehead on YouTube for the last two weeks.
I wear my hat like this on purpose.
Because well, if you're going to do that, you got to lean it to the side.
You got to lean it to the side.
As we progress through the episode.
Now, Waynehead, I always want to go to that rib shop.
So we got Waynehead. We got another deep cut.
That's a banger.
Hermes from Futurama.
The
Jamaican guy?
Yes.
Okay. Homeboys in Outer Space?
A pimp named Slickback.
A pimp named Slickback.
He won. I'm not going to lie, he might have won. He might have just won.
That's all I have.
That was a fire.
That's a solid
top three.
And if y'all wondering who that was.
That was Cat Williams.
We got Brick Owens. Could we introduce you? But we got Brick Owens. He came next door to chop it up with us. It is Black History Month. We are celebrating Black creatives.
Absolutely.
This one
is special.
Go ahead.
This is a special guest. My dog. I'll say...
Who is not a special guest? Who we had that wasn't a special guest?
We'll talk about another day.
I'm a little more special.
Because the way he said it, he was like, so we had him get that weren't special.
No, I didn't say that. But sometimes certain guests resonate to you type shit. When it comes to Brick, it's like, I'm not a fashion guy. That's just not me. Mm. I like what I like.
Mm-hmm.
And when people tell me what's, you know, what... yo, this is, yo, Ry, you, I'm very well coached when it comes to how I dress.
I like it.
He is one of the only people, well, my circle, like I said, is very creative circle.
Yes, yes.
He's been a fashion guy before fashion was popular. Was a thing.
Yeah.
I remember meeting, I think the first time I met you is when you first moved back to New York. Were you here before? Yeah, you came back. Because that was you came from Atlanta, and I remember we went to that one store in LES.
What the carry? What year?
It has a lot of old fashioned stuff you can buy. I'm
talking about Lambs. Next to Last Lap?
No. Is it Tokyo something?
Yes, Tokyo 7 in East Village.
Yes.
Not LES.
Yeah, okay, that's what I say. I know it.
Yeah. Okay. So I remember, I think that was the first day we actually chilled.
Probably.
Me, you, Wes, whole bunch of us. But from that day, I could see it was just a different world than I can, like, fashion.
The fashion world.
There was more than just going to Soho and going to Atrium.
Right.
And there was more than, but that's what we knew.
First of all, shout out to those days.
No, it was amazing days. But I great thought days. That was the, in my mind, that was the plateau that was of the fashion pinnacle. Because yeah. that I couldn't even afford most of that stuff.
Right.
So and Atrium?
Atrium.
Oh, back in the day. Okay.
Atrium went crazy. Yeah, like they had.
I'm thinking
stuff.
Where we're at now.
No, where Atrium. Hold on, where Atrium back in the
that's
day.
That's where they had all the Montclairs. They had everything. And yeah, some things I can't afford. Wow. I go get my good jeans. What was it at the time?
Savage.
No. It was nudies. I would go get my nudies and stuff. Cool. I can afford that barely, but I got it. But then I didn't know there was a level above that, which was all the, you know, the high ends. Because we didn't really cross that other side,
and then
Broadway.
And then we didn't know how to really flip it the right way.
Yeah. Back in the day, it was everybody would go down to Soho and they chill on Broadway and Houston around the area.
Yep.
If you really think about it, all the high end stores are on the other side of Broadway.
It's literally the opposite direction.
And you got to walk down.
But even canal. if you're on Broadway in Houston. On the right side, if you're on Houston and you're going straight up Houston, on the right side is where the Prada's and everything were.
For sure.
We all chilled on the left
on
side
the left
of the
side
street.
Of the building. Yeah.
So to us, it was all I know is the Atrium. We go to Bape, and Supreme wasn't even a
back
thing
when
like
Bape
that.
Was
like,
Supreme.
It wasn't, yeah. But there was yeah. it was Bape.
Supreme was very specific. You had to be
very,
it was a very
and it was
specific.
It was the this was
on,
the BBC
only on Thursday.
Yeah, exactly.
But this
on
is the BBC drop. Time. Yep. This is the, we go to mm-hmm. we go only to BBC. Then we go to Bape. We go to Atrium.
Go to Nike.
And that was really it. We go to Nike Mercer.
Yeah, like, that's
stuff
what
like that.
Say, yeah.
But once Mercer. I met Brick, it showed me that there's more to life than just the streetwear world.
Yeah.
So that was my introduction to high fashion. Yeah. To this day, I can still call him and be like, "Yo, how you?
What do you think about this?
You like these? Like which, this? I don't know these names of people. He's taught me things that I knew nothing about, and if I didn't talk about him to this day, I wouldn't know nothing about. So that's why Briggs is a special guest for me because he really uplifted my soul when it came to fashion. Like,
Let's give it up for that, man.
And I'm not a dresser like that, but I put that.
You put that thing on when you need to.
Thank you.
Hello,
thank you.
Appreciate you.
How do you feel after that? Such an intro break.
It feels good. It feels good. It feels good to know that you have people that, you know, admire and like the things that you are into. I mean, obviously, similar interests is what brings people together and makes them friends. I spent a lot of time in my life studying clothes. You know, so it's
where you from?
I'm from Atlanta.
Okay.
Been in New York February 1st would be 8 years.
Mm.
So yeah, like Rob was saying, for me, I'm from Atlanta, so like all the things that you guys have had in your backyard of Soho, whether it's Atrium, Bape, BBC, Prada, so on and so forth, where I was from, bro, we didn't have any.
I'm about to say it wasn't the same access, especially not now, because you go to Atlanta now.
Now, as of 3 to 4 years
ago. I'm about to say, literally within Lennox, the last five years,
Lennox, Phipps, and then y'all got
you guys have exploded in the scene of not only streetwear, but like there's so many different spots of high fashion in there now.
The power of the black dollar.
Very true.
That's literally all it is. Because, you know, growing up in Atlanta, we had Wish where I
I remember Justin Wish. Yep.
Where I once worked at.
Oh, you worked there when Justin was dead or before?
Justin, last name?
Paul.
I don't believe so. He probably was in there before me or maybe.
No, he's dead now. So
oh, no, I've been here for almost 8 years. So, no. But yeah, we had that. We had Standard, Walters, and things like that, you know. So we made do with what it was that we had. But to get back to Ryan's point, like, I began to, you know, understand that there was much more out there. So me and friends of mine, we were on forums.
Yeah.
So you know how, like,
what were some of the forums you was on back then?
I'm going to tell you. So you know how, like, now you have, like, Reddit?
Yeah.
Nature. Like, then we were on Super Future, Fifth Dimension.
Fifth Dimension was
I remember Fifth Dimension.
Nike SB, 23 remember is that? Back.
23
is back. Heavy. That was a forum. And that was the... At the time, that was the most accurate spot for releases.
Yep.
Like, they would let you know the date.
Yeah.
You would be able to find the date, and in the forums, you would be able to be like, that's why I got my, the OG Thunders.
Mm-hmm.
The OG Lightning, I'm sorry, the OG Lightning is where I got that one.
Yeah. So, you know, like, playing around on the forums, it's literally a global community of people that, you know, have these things in their backyard. Those that don't have these things in their backyard, but they like these kind of things. Like, we didn't have a Dior in our backyard, but I always liked Dior jeans. Could I afford Dior jeans? Not necessarily, but it was things that I admired about them. So it's like, oh, when I was able to buy Dior jeans, I was wearing Jordans. Mm. So it's like, all right, then it, like, that became a thing. Like, our style began to morph into these different influences of things that we were looking at on the computer. Like, now maybe if I was born in a place where Prada, Chanel, Gucci, Fendi, Louis Vuitton, and so on and so forth, and all of these other luxurious flagships are up the street or a train ride down, maybe my perspective wouldn't be as broad as far as understanding fashion and style and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. But just being exposed to forms really opened that up, and you got to meet like-minded individuals that had niche interests that didn't have the money to obtain these things, but they still looked like you. So it wasn't as much as I'm comfortable wearing a Nike Tech and I see a guy wearing a skirt and it's like, yo, what does bro have on? As opposed to I'm with people that's like, yo, we're all from a place that's kind of like isolated of not having these things. So when we see these things, it's like, maybe I wouldn't wear that. But I like the shoes, and I see how they got there.
Yeah,
you know what
I mean?
So it began to, be more of a understanding of perspective as opposed to always like, oh, it's fresh or it's not fresh.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, you understand perspective.
So,
yeah.
So for you,
yep.
Especially as you just said, you know, growing up in Atlanta, it was like you guys didn't have the same access that we probably had just being up here in New York. Mm-hmm. What was that spark for you? Like, what was that first thing that made you even want to start to venture or even pay attention to fashion?
My mother went to FIT.
Nice.
My mom went to fashion school. My parents are from New York. My father used to do, like, retail management for, like, Lowman's and
shout out big
things,
breaking
of,
moms,
things
man.
Of that
That's
nature.
That's fire.
So I guess just
kind of like in parents. Your blood.
I guess, but I'll attribute it more to just my parents having good taste. Mm. I know that's subjective, but, you know, just, you know, liking nice things and being able to do what it takes to afford those things and, you know, understanding why, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
As a designer, like, it can be difficult trying to get someone to understand why this costs this and this costs that, you know? And it's like, yo, like, I won't even talk about clothes here, but, like, we can talk about something that's, like, normally designed. Like, you might see you might see something that's, like, perfect example. I got it right here. I was at the MoMA store probably, like, 3 months ago, right? Mm-hmm. I bought this this thing that you put your phone on where you're supposed to be able to, like, look at your phone and, like, FaceTime and talk on it as it sits propped up, right?
Yeah.
And it has like this little piece under it where you can like put your phone cord into it to charge. And it's really cool. It's like a phone rack charger thing. So I bought one from the Moment store. It's like $12. And then I got home and I was like, oh, this is cool. And I was like talking to somebody on FaceTime and they're like, yo, I really can't hear you. I can't hear you. And I'm just like, what do you mean you can't hear me? But the speakers on the iPhone are under
the bottom. The microphone is underneath, exactly. So it blocks
so whatever you're sitting on.
So the rack, the way that the rack was designed, that Moment is selling, it's closed off at the bottom. So, yeah, it served the purpose for you to see it, but you can't hear it because the thing is blocked.
Unless you got your headphones in.
Unless you have your headphones in, exactly, which is another $250.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, dang, like, I thought that this $12 thing was really good, but now that I figured out what the downside,
paid that $12.
Yeah, like not tripping on it, but once you like looking at it from a design standpoint, you're like, oh, dang, that kind of sucks. But maybe there's something on the market that is better designed that has maybe like perforations at the bottom where it's open at the bottom, but it's still rounded, like it can still hold the thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I go looking for it, and I find it. But it's
what's the price?
It's $150.
Exactly.
Not necessarily tripping on it, but at the same time, I say that to many people that don't understand the importance of design and or how to quantify it. Because it's like, yo, why is this $150 and why is this $12? And it's just like, all right, yeah, I think that the gap of $138 may be kind of vast for somebody else to be able to hear you. But if this is a big part of your comfort or it feeds towards your efficiency,
exactly.
You will pay that price because it's of use and not of inconvenience. So
that's a great way to put it.
Yeah, like that's just how I look at design.
Now how do you connect that or transition that outlook to fashion in regards to when you're creating pieces and your price points compared to others?
First off, it's always going to be form and function.
Yeah.
Always. You know, what is this thing useful for? What is its functioning purpose? That's what clothes are, you know. Now, if it happens to be flashy on top of that, or it's tied to a story, which most things are, and that's a sellable story that's relatable to the masses, or it's on trend, or the color is on trend for the season, it checks all those boxes. All of those things are icing on the cake. But for me and us, it's form and function. How is this thing? How can this thing be used? As far as price points, a lot of people don't talk about this, but it just depends on where you are. If somebody owns your company or has equity in it, whatever. Our business is not that. We're 100% independent. Mm-hmm. But
Black-owned, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, black-owned.
Yes, yes. At the end of the day, though, math is math.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That's the bottom line. You feel what I'm saying? So as a young, independent designer, when you come into this thing, you are not going to step in to this thing with all the resources. You're not going to step into it with all the finances to get the best made, and you're not going to get the best price because you don't have the money to spend or you haven't built
the resources.
Connection.
Yeah.
You don't have any of these things at your leisure. So as far as price point goes, Mouse, like, I think many artists and many people that do design, they would, you know, we don't have as – I won't say we don't have as much control, but just mathematically – as they say, the math is going to math.
Yeah.
So it's like, yo, if it's out of my control, that like if I buy the textile, it's, I don't know, depending on what's getting made. Let's say, just use flat numbers. All right, $10 a yard, you're making a hoodie, yard and a half, roughly. Okay, cool. So now you're looking at about $15 on textile. You go to the manufacturer. Manufacturer's like, oh, well, how many are you looking to get done? And he's probably not going to give you a price break for less than 50 or 100, mm-hmm. just depending on where you are. Because why is he gonna break down his work to serve you when he's got people buying the whole situation? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
True.
So you're not going to get a tax break. So you spend that on textile. Let's say you spend $50 on the labor. So you're $65 in right now. All right, now you got to get a screen printed or whatever you want to put on
right.
it. So now you got to go get your screens made. That's a fee to get your screen made. Then the labor to get it done. You're not going to get a tax break on that because depending on how many units you're getting. So it's like, oh, man, I just need a one-off. Ooh, ooh. So now they're probably going to charge. You're going to pay that $55 for the screen alone. Probably going to charge you $5, $6, $7, maybe $10 to just do a one-off. Or they might work the other one and say, well, since you're just getting a one-off, we're not even going to waste our time screening this. We'll vinyl press it. Mm. Like heat press it just so it can have the look for you to take your product shots or what have you. So you done spent $50 on labor, $15 on textile. Now you want to get the thing printed. So maybe you spent, I don't know, $15 to $20 on getting whatever it is you want to put across it. $15, $50, $65, another $15. You're at $80 for a product. Now, think about it like this. A mentor of mine, you know, was giving me the numbers of like the formula of how to like break things down from like a wholesale to resale aspect. So if it costs you $80 to make, that's your cost. But now you're going to wholesale it for about 2.5 times more.
At least.
Mm-hmm. So now when you wholesale it for 2.5 times more, the retailer that you're selling it to, they're going to mark it up about 2.5 as well. So now overall, your retail price is about 5 times what your cost is. You get what I'm saying? But look at what I just said. I just told you we just did the math of about $80.
Yep.
5 times is 400.
And this is for one piece.
One hoodie.
Yeah.
To sell.
Yeah.
Now, I know that it's high. But now as your journey goes on, you have the specs to these things, and it's like, all right, now when I up my quantity, the price is going to be cheaper. The more fabric I buy, I'm going to get a lower ticket.
Yep.
The more I get made at the factory, I'm going to get a lower ticket. As I run into people at the factory, connections, I might run into somebody that works in a factory that they may be able to like get a better stuff. Ticket. You run into somebody in the fabric spot, and, oh, man, you should check out my mill and do-do-do-do, and then you go to their mill or you go to this site, and, you know, you begin to whittle your way down to make the things more affordable. But I think a lot of times the consumers, especially like when it comes to looking at black business and black artists, it's just like, yo, why is this so high? Who do they think they are? Or if they want, why would I go to them and give them $450 a shirt when Gucci t-shirt is $550 and Gucci's t-shirt has more social currency in the club, or it's going to get more likes because it's something that it's a status symbol, you know. So it begins to get hard on an entrepreneur that knows what their vision is. But you know, as we work, I don't work towards what it is that you think I am today. I work towards who I know I'm supposed to be when this is all said and done. Because at 32 years old, we've been doing. Running this company as a business for this year will be 10 years.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And, you know, as far as that goes, what we're just now doing is things that we've saw in our mind since
years ago. I'm about to say since years ago.
You know what I mean? So reality for us right now, to be truthful, is catch up. Reality is now beginning to align with the things that we always saw. So the success and accolades now is, you know, like, it's very nice. It's very nice. It's very fulfilling. But, you know, at moments, it feels like back pay.
You put in so much work. And it's like being around his brand and being around other people that are around us and stuff and just seeing where his brand is compared to some other people that I know. They don't even have to be in the same circle. And seeing the how hard he works and everything that's paying back for it and everything that comes back. And I know we talked about mentors before, and I know you have amazing mentors or you've had some. Well, I'll say that for the world. Mentor.
No, for sure.
But no problem. Knowing you personally, I know the battles that you've had to even get to those conversations of somebody wanting to help you.
Yeah.
So when it comes to that stuff, who before all of that mentor stuff, who did you look up to as a designer? Like in that fashion world, it's like, yo, look, y'all might not know his name, but this is the person that I was just like, oh, yeah, this on.
First, let me say this. My mom always kind of told me there are going to be things about people that you like, and there's going to be things about people that you don't like.
True.
And you are going to see things that you like and people that you don't have, that you want to have, or things that you want to be. So I kind of went through life like, you know, being able to like download
what I like
qualities from people and not to emulate or copy them, because I'm not trying to be them, but I do admire what they do. You know what I mean? So it's like, yo, if you're more than likely, if your dad's an honorable person, you're going to be an honorable man. Yeah. You know what I mean? Or honorable person. Or if your mom, for instance, is a very understanding woman, you'll probably be an understanding person.
Yep. Right.
You get what I'm saying? Yep. So it's just certain things like that. So yeah, I went through life like seeing a lot of things that I admired in different people, and it didn't matter to me what the person had or who they were for me to be like, yo, I admire this about this person.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, as far as fashion goes and business and things of that nature, I mean, I grew up heralding the greats, like most people, you know, Alexander McQueen,
of course,
Margiela, Marc Jacobs, Ralph Lauren, Tom Ford, people that just had an idea. But they understood that this one idea has the ability to expand into a whole world that we have to live in. You know, you might not, I don't, you know, regardless to whoever is watching this right now, it's like, I doubt that there's any viewer that's going to watch this that they might not have a Margiela piece, they might not have a comb shirt, they might not have a pair of Ralph Simon pants or Rick Owens shoes, but I bet.
Talk to me if you're gonna tell me. Just say, just look at me and say who you talking about.
No, because
you're gonna say me. Just say me. I know what I don't got.
I'm talking.
You don't gotta reiterate what I got.
No.
All right.
I'm talking about Ralph Lauren.
Yeah. Okay.
Everybody has.
Oh, everybody got.
Everybody.
Everybody has a Ralph
Polo white tee.
Something
or a pair of boxers.
A polo shirt.
A polo shirt.
Yeah, socks.
Whether you've gotten polo pajamas for Christmas.
And you got
it.
You get what I'm saying?
I did too.
So I say that to say that all started with one idea.
It did.
And it grew into a whole world.
A whole worldwide.
That affects the world.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Of course, all socioeconomic statuses.
Everybody had polo, bro.
Everybody. You know, it's a household name. It's literally a household name.
And he had different like...
You got different tiers. You got the polo sport. You got
but he
polo,
has different tiers of what you can afford.
You got the purple label.
Can you do this? This is $1,000 for
this
shirt.
If you want to do that, if you want to do the cashmere, we can do that. If you just want to do the normal cotton, that's fine too.
You can do the wax denim, or we can just do the regular. Like, there's so much that they give you the, and of course that takes time.
Of course.
And of course it takes money, and you gotta know the right people, but
absolutely.
Yeah, so to answer your question, like, it was having the ability and the understanding to see the power of others' ideas. You know what I mean? And just looking at very, very normal things like Ray Kroc and McDonald's. Like, all right, cool.
Yeah.
Like, we have hamburger, we have fries, we have soda. We are not Chick-fil-A.
Nah.
We're not trying to sell you chicken sandwiches.
We're trying to get you a burger real quick.
That's it.
Come get this burger real quick.
Come get these fries.
We specialize in this because this is what we're good at.
Yeah.
And then from there, once it has been proven time and time and time and time again that we are good at this.
Then you add a little.
Now
we got ribs, y'all.
Now we can experiment for a limited time only.
Because we know what's going to sell it, right? We know what we got. It's already going to sell. But we'll give you little things. And if that sells, then
we can
add. But we'll try it out.
And if it doesn't sell, we're not going belly up back to the floor eating ramen noodles. Like, our business
is back to burgers.
Our business is not in danger. We're just going back to doing
what we do,
what we know best.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
What was your barrier of entry into fashion? Like, as a brand, not just saying like, okay,
I knew your fashion show before. I think I knew you.
Yeah, most
when you did the Subway joint.
Yeah, most people did
in Atlanta.
To be honest, Mouse, it didn't even start with making clothes. It started as a stylist.
Okay.
About 10 years ago, roughly. Excuse me. Yeah, about 10 years ago, I had an opportunity to intern with Complex Magazine. Okay. Through Matthew Henson, who gave me an opportunity, and Cassandra Henderson.
Shout out, Matt.
She used to work at Complex. And just having friends back home that make music and just being around them, me always having a job since I was like 15, buying clothes and getting fresh.
Yeah.
You know, people just admiring what I did. So then my friends were making music, and a lot of my friends came from, you know, single family households and, you know, things of that nature. So they didn't have the opportunity to, you know, have as much as I did, you know, and me, and that didn't put a strain on the friendships and that I built and the relationships that I kept, you know. It was just always me being able and wanting to help and, you know, seeing my friends look like how I look, or us all being fresh in our own way. So, yeah, my friends were making music, and then they would go on the road, and I would go on the road with them sometimes too, letting them wear my clothes, so on and so forth. And they had a stop in New York where they were at the stop by Complex Magazine. And at the time, Key Henderson was managing them, and she was working at Complex. And
shout
then
out,
I
Key.
Pulled up with them. Yes, yes, facts. Yes. So I pulled up with them, and obviously I'm sticking out like a sore thumb because I mean, if she manages the group and she's never seen me before, obviously I'm not part of the talent. So she's looking at me like, what are you doing here? So I'm like, oh, I'm the stylist. So at that time, like that summer before, my business partner and I, he lended an amazing helping hand as far as helping me get my stylist portfolio together.
Nice.
And just spent the whole summer doing that, shooting in a film, lending me some of his clothes, most of his clothes, some of mine, just mixing it together and just, you know, having something to be able to show, because a lot of times we were so anti to having to be formal, because as artists we are rebels. So, you know, you have to still understand the formality of certain things to this industry to get certain opportunities. I didn't walk in that office that day with them looking to get an opportunity to become an intern there. I was just, you know, doing right and supporting the homies. And but we did really work hard on that portfolio. So when she, you know, she kind of looked at me, you know, kind of looking like, well, who is this guy? And I was like, all right, well, I felt like the oddball my whole life of it being like, so who is this guy? He looks a little different. Like, what does he do? Because I'm kind of quiet. So it's like, if you're not into what I'm into, or you don't know who I am or what
I'm
like,
I'm going to stay to myself.
Yeah, like, I'm not going to open up like, oh, so did y'all watch dinner today? Like, I'm not an icebreaker type of guy. But like, if I can see like a common denominator of an interest, we could talk all day. But, you know, I just, you know, I know how that goes, being in the studio and you not being the talent and everybody's looking at you like, move around or talking over you or acting as if you don't exist. And it's like, oh, I'm a human too. So I was just like, felt that was extremely inhumane. But anyway, just being there, I introduced myself to Key, so on and so forth. And I was like, yo, like, I've worked really hard on my portfolio this past summer. I have it on my computer. Like, I love to show it to you. And she's like, oh, great. And it was good. It was very good. And then, you know, she liked what she saw, but I think Key was on like special projects at Complex at the time. I don't believe it was fashion.
Yeah, yeah, before. Yeah.
Exactly. This is back when they were on 23rd Street by the, like in the Home Depot building.
Mm-hmm.
So she's like, okay, like I'm gonna show this to like our fashion person being Matthew Henson. So I'm just like, oh, cool. Like, but more so I'm here for the homies. And then she shows it to Matt, comes back a couple minutes later, and she's like, yo, like, I want to introduce you to somebody. So she introduced me to Matt. Somebody that I can, you know, talk to that like speaks the language.
Exactly. I mean?
So Matt and I just ended up chatting for a moment in his office, so on and so forth. And then he's just like, yo, like, what are you doing in like December? Like, it's like when school break is. And I was like, I don't know. Like, I don't really have any plans. I'm like 21 at the time. I had no plans. So I'm like, well, I don't really know. So he's like, yo, well, like, if you'd like, we'd love to have you, like, intern here. So I'm just like, okay, tight. So I'm, like, geeked a little bit. Not high, but, like, excited.
Of course.
Yeah, so I'm geeked. So I'm like, all right. So, like, we leave. Like, they do their show and stuff, whatever, whatever. So I call my parents, and I'm just like, yo, I got my big break. And at the time, I'm going to school for economics at Kennesaw State. And
my parents...
Kennesaw, it's in Georgia. It's in Atlanta, like, it's north. Not like Gwinnett North, but like,
mm-hmm.
it's a little up there. So my parents are like, what does that have to do with economics? Literally. And I was just like, oh, got it. Like, this is the TV show moment where, like, the kid begins bucking on their parents, like, Mom, you don't understand. Dad, you don't understand. And it's just like, you know what, bro? I'm not even finna really go back and forth because nobody's gonna force me to go to school. I'm not bucking like that. But like, that's just like.
But you're not gonna be forced into something that.
I'm a very calm person, Mac. So it's just like it can come across aggressive. But if I look you in your face and say, "So what you gonna do about it?"
It's a real question, though.
It's a very valid question. Like, I don't have my hands up saying, let's do it. But it's like, really, what are you going to do?
What's going on, everybody? This is Tristan Mack Wilds from Guys Next Door. And what are you guys doing tonight? Why not make it a Martell night? Martell Cognac comes in two different forms. You have Martell Blue Swift and Martell Cordon Bleu. Martell Blue Swift is the first spirits drink made of cognac, VSOP, then finished up in bourbon casks. It's great neat. It's great on the rocks. Or even in a cocktail. It's one of those any night kind of drinks. But that Martell Cordon Bleu, named after the international emblem of excellence. It's one of a kind cognac for those special moments. Whether it's a night out or an even more special night in, go with the brand that's been redefining conventions for over 300 years. Martell Cognac, soar beyond the expected.
So I'm already not living at home.
So I have a question.
Shoot.
Because I love hearing just especially from designers, people who create, right?
Yeah.
Like me as a musician, like hearing about my first song all over again, I'd be like, I still remember the day I recorded it. I remember what it was, how we did it, how we flipped the record, whatever. What was the first thing that you created? Like, what was the first thing that you worked on? And what was the process like?
It started with jeans.
You was doing custom jeans for a minute.
To finance this thing and, you know, try to get money to forward our ideas. I remember one time, this is probably like, this was 2007 because I graduated in 08. At the time, like, me and my business partner, like, bro, we always loved denim. Like, we just loved denim. And
what is it about denim that caught your eye, that made it the thing that y'all zeroed in on?
I personally believe that denim is the nucleus to an outfit. That's what I... If...
Over sneakers? Or if, over feet?
If. Coming from where we come from... Very few stores had tier zero accounts, tier one accounts.
True.
You know what I mean?
Explain that for the listeners who don't understand.
Tier ones and tier zeros, HTMs and accounts like that, like this is, it's so normal now, every store gets Yeezys. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because back then you had to sell
the whack Jordans to get the good Jordans.
You have to take some Scooby snacks. That's what we call them.
You got to sell some Eddie Georges.
Yeah, no, for sure.
You got to sell. You got to sell some Eddie Joneses if you want to get to 12.
Right.
You got to. And you got to sell 12, out of them. You got to move these Cheryl Swoops.
You have to move all.
You got
to
move it.
Yeah, because it was unanimous that the Yeezy 1 is going to sell, the Yeezy 2 is going to sell, or whatever the hot shoe is. Like, that's going to fly. So, like, Nike's not bending over backwards to give you something that they know is going to sell. It's like, yo, can you
push this stuff that's not going to sell?
Can you trap out the bottom of the bag? Like, it ain't all about just the za. Like, what about the da-da-da-da? You feel what I'm saying? So anyway, Mouse, so we didn't have all of the options of the feats. Like, Walters would get the Yeezys and stuff, but, like, bro, we were kids. We weren't dope boys.
Right.
So the price point was crazy at the time.
Bro, you have to keep in mind... I remember, and not to shy off the question.
Of course.
I remember when the Jordan 17 came out. That was the first Jordan
suitcase.
Suitcase and interactive disc.
Facts.
That was also the first Jordan that came out post his retirement.
Yep. See.
No, his return.
Was his return?
He was back.
Yeah, facts. That was his seventh.
That was 02.
Seventh grade.
It's 02.
I was about to say it was
sixth grade.
And so I think it was.
I just moved to Jersey.
You're right. You're right. So
I think it was either. I think those shoes were either 200 or 250. I want to say 200.
I think it was 250 because it came with the suitcase.
With the suitcase, yeah. It was 250 for the. If you were able to get the pair just in the box, it was 200.
Yeah. So Pete, so I remember them coming out, and I wanted them, and you know, my parents did the best they can to give me whatever it was that I wanted within reason. But you know,
that's
$250 was. Ridiculous in 02 when you're 12 in 7th grade. Mm-hmm. So I think,
and they know you're going to mess them shits up.
So I think like we went to Finish Line or my mom called Finish Line or something like that. And it was like, oh, they 250. And they were just like, what? Like, it's not like.
Now, mind you guys, this is before that. This is before the usual where Jordans now are like, they're starting at like 150, 200.
Jordan now is 180.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And this is also the time when you can actually go into the store.
And get the sneakers.
Because the price point was so high that everybody wanted them, couldn't get them.
Right. I remember, I think it was 2000.
It's before Hypebeast. It's before resellers and stuff like that. He was just getting it for that price. I don't remember resellers back in that.
They were there.
They were there, but it wasn't.
And I don't think it was also like.
It was in different places.
Yeah, the resellers weren't.
And it wasn't resell at that time. It was still.
Sneaker pimps.
Hey, you got this.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Let me get this. I'll give you this. It was still a very organic.
It was a barter system.
It was a trading. So,
I remember. I think 2003. Or I think I was 13 or something like that.
That's 2003. We was 14.
We were 14.
Just
so then. So then 2002 is when I was able to go into training camp.
Yeah.
I went into training camp and bought a pair of threes. I wish you could go into a store and buy a pair.
Oh, yeah, go get some threes right now.
They're going to be the
depends on which ones you want.
Yeah, they're going to be the nasty.
Not the ones he won. He didn't wear them.
Throw me these.
If he didn't wear them, we didn't want them.
But,
talk about it.
But yeah, Mouse.
I had the Eddie Joneses.
It was. Don't trip.
Eddie Jones wore
them.
Those were a good team. Those are good team Jordans.
Yeah.
Eddie Jones, Cheryl Swoops, and there was one more pair. I can't think of it. There was three pair that was still good monies. I just can't remember the third pair.
Carmelo's?
Carmelo's.
The V2s, the ones that were kind of like fives?
No, not that. The ones. The ones, they were high and they kind of had that rounding at the neck.
Yeah. That wasn't for me, but.
My cousin in Alabama had those. They were good.
Yeah.
I'm not. My mother's from Alabama.
I took that offensively. Yeah. I had two pair of those.
My first.
That was the first sneaker I ever bought two pair. I was like, oh, this is tough. I need two pair.
Now, Eddie Jones, I got those shits in seventh grade when I moved to.
To clear the air here? My mother is from Alabama.
Okay.
Okay.
I have a first cousin, seriously, named Ryan. He would be into Jordans. I was into Jordans. So we would trade Jordans when I would go to Alabama. Mm-hmm.
Did y'all wear the same size?
We were kids, so he had it. It wasn't about the size.
As a kid, you could get something and never wear them and just be in your room.
Or back then, that's when we put our feet in it. Put an extra sock on.
Take the sole out, extra sock, a lot of things.
Let me tell you something. I'm 32 years old right now and wearing 9.5. I remember one time I went to Walter's and it was like these Dunk Highs. They were like 4th of July ones. They had like the seersucker padding in between the check.
Yo,
the
I still got those. I literally just pulled them out of the storage like last week.
Boy, nasty. I'm a 9.5 now at 32. So I think at this time maybe I was a 8.5, 9. you know, it's like back to school time, or I was prepping to get ready to go back to school, mm-hmm. something like that. You know, you try to buy your stuff a little early.
Of course.
You don't want to go back to school with the same things that everybody has. So you're like, oh, if I put this on layaway at Marshall soon enough, like,
by the time I get it.
You feel me? And nobody's going to have it. Boy, I went and washed and got them shoes and a 10 and a half. On me. I ain't never worn 10 and a half in my life.
A 10 and a half?
And you wear 8 and a half.
I'm not going to lie to you. A 10 and a half.
At this big old age, dunk, I'm a 9 and a half. And dunk highs,
and Miles. Dunk highs, the 10 and a half?
Not SBs.
I don't know
no
if anybody
pads.
Understands. He looked like the letter L. Standing still, he looks like the letter L. That's crazy.
But this is where I tie this all back together. Jeans.
The
importance of jeans and how I believe that jeans dictate an outfit. No, that's I didn't true. Find my way to jeans being cool because I was trying to hide two big shoes. That wasn't the case. But in this, but in instances, it did work to my advantage. But I say all that to say, like, we didn't have certain things in our backyard. We didn't have the product. We didn't have the Bape. We didn't have be able to get all these things. So, like, for me, it was jeans. So it was APC and
APCs,
Gap
yeah.
had a good raw denim that me and my business partner both mm-hmm. had at the time. It was they had a pair called the More, and they had a pair called the Go.
I know that because my cousin, mm-hmm. when I moved to Jersey, she worked at the Gap.
See?
My older cousin, so we used to get all the Gap,
see?
All the Gap stuff.
Mm-hmm. I ended up working at the Gap. One part of my life got fired after they used me on Black Friday, and then fired me after the shift was over after coming in at midnight.
Oh, not enough, Kanye. Put them all out in front of the store. No more sign dates.
And then they fired me because they told me that I didn't know how to fold. And I'm just like, all right, well,
why I mean, that's a pretty important part of the job.
Why don't you teach me?
But why would
you? Oh, right, because he just started.
Why would you hire? Well, it was a job, but it was like, bro, I would only go to, it's like a high school job. You feel me? So like, I would only go to work
hours.
Like, yeah, two days a week at most. And then like the Gap pants, bro, it's so funny. Like, I swear to you, bro, when I was working at the Gap, I didn't like how any of the Gap pants fit me.
Mm.
So I'm going to work in RRL Ralph Lauren pants, like $300 pants. And like customers are coming in and they're like,
they want
can
those.
I get those pants?
And they're like, yo, I like your pants. Who makes them? And I'm like, Ralph Lauren. And the customer's like, oh, great. I'm going to
Ralph Lauren.
No retention.
I didn't think anything of it because I was a kid. No, I was like 19, 18, 19. And then, and my manager was just like, bro, what? Like,
what you doing?
I'm just like, but this is my thing about design and being a designer. Like, it's a certain truth. Like, I can't keep the truth from somebody when it comes to design. Like, what's good is good. And this looks good on me and it makes me feel good. And this person likes how it looks on me and they think it'll look good on them and make them feel good. So it wasn't about me trying to keep the secret and saving face for who I was working for mm-hmm. at the time, as opposed to just telling the truth. And they're like, yeah, bro, you're not supposed to be here because you're not understanding that you're supposed to
sell our this. Product.
Your existence is supposed to be all about this, whether it's the truth or it's not. This.
And it can't be that.
Can't
not,
be that.
Especially not when you're in, when you're a designer and in the business of telling the truth.
I wasn't there yet. I wasn't designing yet. But it's
no. But yeah. But it was already the mindset. You already had the mindset.
You feel
of it.
Me?
Let me ask you this. Shoot. Do you remember your worst outfit?
Yeah.
Let me ask you this in two parts.
I can tell you one.
Do you remember your worst outfit?
I was
about
to say,
nah, wait, because he was about to say it wasn't no time soon. But let me ask you this: sure. As a stylist, do you remember your worst outfit? Mm-hmm. And personally, do you remember your worst outfit?
Mm-hmm. In high school, we used to have this thing. We used to have like week, I guess, a homecoming.
Yeah.
And at our school in the South, y'all probably never had this in New York, so y'all probably gonna look at me crazy. But we used to have Tacky Day.
No.
I've heard about
match
that.
Day.
Yeah, I've heard about
that.
Yeah.
Spirit Week.
Yeah, Spirit Week.
Homecoming
yeah.
Spirit Week.
Yeah. I don't remember Tacky Day specifically.
You ain't make it that far.
Okay. So, yeah, like back home, we
bang.
Had.
You ain't even make it to
bang.
Come on, now.
Yo.
We had.
Bang.
That's like the
edge. Here we go. See?
Yo.
I'm staying over here.
Man. So, look. Yo, as a true friends. I almost threw the frame. That was crazy. The way he hit me with that, I didn't even see it coming. That was. I did that to you?
I'm staying out of this.
I deserve that?
No, I was just saying, like,
wow.
You,
it's 4 years of high school, bro.
But why was you dressing tacky if you didn't have to go to class?
Go ahead, Brick.
Wow.
Double down on the joke. That's crazy.
So I'm going to put my hands back on my lap.
Anything I did today, you feel like I deserve that, Brick? Something like that?
Jesus Christ.
I would hope not.
I need some water.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I can only hope. I don't know.
Welcome back.
During Black History Month, it's crazy.
It's crazy.
Doing this during Black History Month,
I got to be real with my people.
It happens.
Back to you, Brick. Tacky Day.
It's okay. So we had Tacky Day.
You trying to say your worst fit was during the Tacky Day? You can't do that.
On me.
Yo, that's the freshest thing you can say. Yo, only time I dressed bad is when they told us to dress bad.
It goes back to like being like, what's your worst critique of yourself?
I work hard.
I don't know when to turn it off, boss.
I'm gonna give it to you though, because watch this. Look. When you know clothes and you know trends, there are rules.
Yes, sir.
There are rules.
Yes,
like,
sir.
Like in suiting, I'm not a suit wearer. When I have to wear a suit,
you know
I do, and I know how to wear. So there's
I'm about to say, I've seen you with a suit on, that boy.
I've had to. Oh yeah, for sure. Because I know what to do. I understand the game. I'm a student that study very well. So when I have to do those things, I do them very well. Because I understand it. But I say that to say there are certain dress shirts that are designed where the collar is designed in a specific manner for a specific
type of neck.
Knot in your tie. A specific type of knot in your tie.
Yes.
You know what I mean? You don't tie a
Windsor in a
spread collar shirt or what have you. It's rules to it. I say all that to say there's rules. So when you get dressed and you love clothes, this is way before I was making clothes, but when you know the science of clothes, like if you were slim pants make a tall person look taller. Baggy pants and a smaller shirt makes a short person not look so short. It's proportions. Like it's just the illusion of the eye. Like I didn't make any of these things up, but as an artist and a designer, it is our responsibility to play and experiment with these things until we find new things and new shapes or new boundaries to break. Now, as far as the tacky thing goes, I say all that to say me knowing what works. When you know what works,
it means you know exactly how to make it.
You know the complete opposite of making the most horrendous things.
I get that.
Because you know how to make things that work. It's like a chef. It's like, all right, well, if I know if salt goes with pepper or turmeric, like in culinary, turmeric normally goes with black pepper because black pepper activates the turmeric in your body to be able to absorb it better. So with those like understandings, you know that you're not supposed to
throw sugar in it.
Yeah, not throw sugar in, but like I think when you eat hot food, or like if you eat a pepper, you're not supposed to drink water.
Mm-hmm.
People think like water is what calms
it
down.
No, no, you actually exacerbate.
You get what I'm saying?
Reactivates it.
Bingo. So I say all that to say, in a long-winded way, sorry. I knew exactly some of the ugliest things, like the most faux pas things. To wear. So I remember my outfit so vividly, and I'm going to tell it to you. And it was so strategically horrendous, you're going to like all envision in your mind, and you're going to be like, wow, that's actually nuts. And then you're like 5 seconds later, you're going to be like, I've seen some things on the runway that look like that now. So I don't know. But I had a turtleneck on.
I'm already hating it.
I had a black turtleneck on with a dashiki over it. I had on hyper purple Nike vintage shorts, not basketball shorts, but like running shorts that like stopped mid thigh.
The before
the ones that we all wear now. Yeah.
Hyper purple, and I had on aerobic socks because in the South back in the day we used to call them slouch socks because
it gives a slouch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I had these from like back in middle school, and then I had a pair of my dad's Chelsea boots on. So I had on Chelsea boots with the pull tab, with slouch socks up to here, with shorts that stopped right here, with a boxy dashiki and a skin-tight turtleneck.
Which looks like people, like you said, what they wear these days.
I think a lot of people don't know the rules and what direction to break rules, so they just try to break rules in any way possible. And it's like, yo, we're doing this because we've never seen it done before, but you also have to ask yourself, we have to ask ourselves, it's like, yo, are we just breaking rules for the sake of being rebels, or is this actually ugly? You know what I mean? And I know that's it's all going to be subjective, whether
of course
you like
it is.
It or not.
But it's a fair assessment, right? Like, are you doing things just to do things, or are you actually like
doing?
Are you trying to be
Are you trying to be different, or are you just expressing yourself in a different manner because that's who you are?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, so yeah, Mouse, that was literally my worst outfit as I can remember, because now, and I know you're like, oh, like, that's crazy, because it's like, how is your worst outfit on tacky day when it's supposed to be intentional? But as an artist, that job, like I said before, is to play with shapes and proportions. My job is more so of that than trying to make somebody understand why I'm wearing what I wear. Mm-hmm. It's more so an experiment. And every time that you choose to experiment, you might not get the result. Yeah, I might come outside to something that was completely odd, weird, and or foreign to you. Totally understandable. It's not about me being smart and you being stupid. But it's like, all right, if you understand that this is an experiment, and as I whittle away at this experiment, I'm going to find something
that catches, absolutely.
And then I'll go from there. You know,
so literally, I mean? from this outfit that you may deem as something not cool or whatever, there's something in this that I'm looking at that's going to spark something that's going to be
fire. That's all mood boards are. You don't put things on a mood board to copy the work, but this is the inspiration. It's like, oh, I like the short shirt with the big pants thing. Not really feeling the boot, but we're going to put this here because I like two things about it. And now we have 400 images of things that we like this season. So now we begin to whittle away at what our silhouette language is going to be. So it's like, all right, now we're moving into this oversized thing. Or this year we're doing oversized small pants. This year we're doing big pants, small things. This year we're doing hoodies with double head hoodies. This year we're doing hoodies that turn into sweatshirts, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's literally an experiment, you know?
That kind of goes into my next question. Sure. Your brand, like, we see it now, you've done two huge collabs. This year, but it still carries over.
Absolutely.
You've done crazy, and I mean, you can speak on those if you want, if you don't, but they're amazing collabs. What is the future of your brand? Like, where do you see it? 5 years from now, what do you see? Do you see yourself as a creative director for, you know what I'm saying?
Five years from now, we want a house. We want a house.
Like your own production house?
Their own fashion house.
We are currently that. We are a fashion house. Mm-hmm. I mean, does our logistics as a fashion house look like what you know a fashion house to be as mm-hmm. a Prada or a Gucci? Not specifically, because we haven't been there as long, but we're growing towards that. And the reason I say fashion house as opposed to brand clothing line, like, look at the influence in the things that we do. Mm-hmm. You know? And that's not to toot our horn. That's just
the truth.
Yeah. That's just the ripple in the ocean of the creativity that we bring to the game. So yeah, 5 years from now, being in it for 10 already,
it's 15.
You know, had a chance to work with we've had a chance to work with a lot of talented designers, and do a lot of collaboration with talented designers, friends, and you know, all of those things. So I think 5 years from now, 15 years in the game, I definitely think that house positioning will be only right, and anything less than that is a failed mission. So that, I think, and I believe that it will happen before five.
I mean, I know it will.
Yeah, sure.
But I just wanted to
five,
put a year out there.
No, for sure. Because, you know, for me, that's where you go get the money. Because in our house, it's not like, yes, it's a business and business needs money, but it's art first and it's art forward. Mm-hmm. And there is no necessary quantification of money on the art. So that is why we are so indie, because when you meet business managers or you meet people that are trying to buy in that have this money tool with no understanding of creativity.
They're not there for the right reasons.
They're not there for the right reasons, and they're telling you what the budget should be so that the art may get compromised due to the amount of dollars that can go behind it, as opposed to when you're fighting for something that you and your partner have seen for the past 15 years, no pun intended, but there's no limit to the thing.
You know what I mean?
So it's not about, like, you think I'm going to get discouraged with you telling me that we don't have enough money? Bro, it's not even your money.
That's a fact.
You work for me. So it's your job to either go find the money or move around.
Yeah.
Because this art comes from the heart. So it's not about, bro, this You make time for what you want, and you find a way to get
to
what
get
you want.
To get it how you got
that's,
it. That's, how that's, you got to get
it. Right you there. Get what you want. I don't know a world of me not getting what I want.
Man, that brings me to this last question.
Shoot.
I know right now there's somebody watching right now, male, female, other. There's somebody out there who's actively working on trying to be the next brick.
Sure.
What's a tip? What's something that you would want to give them or to kind of tell them, guide them in the right direction towards leaning into their creativity?
You have to see it.
Mm.
You have to see it. You have to see it. You have to see yourself in it. You have to see yourself doing it. You cannot see somebody else in it and see somebody else doing it and think that I can do it too, or I deserve it. I deserve to do it too because I now want what this person has worked for. My life has been very much.
I needed that myself.
Yeah, he slapped that one.
Right. How do you use your opportunity? You know, like when you go out to eat with your family, your girl, whoever, you have, when you look at that menu, you get an option. If you can afford, obviously you can because you chose to go to this place.
Of course.
So,
yeah, sometimes you find out.
Mouse, these things have prices aside. But seriously though, you get to choose exactly what it is that you want.
Yep.
So me personally, if I'm at dinner with somebody, you get a menu, I get a menu, you get what you want, I'm gonna get what I want. So there is.
And woman, don't you reach your hand across
the I'm not God talking about.
Damn. I gave you an opportunity to order what you want.
Mouse, you're triggered. You're triggered. Relax.
It happens. Relax. It happens. We've all been there.
Forgive me, y'all. So, I had a moment, my brothers.
It's okay. But you make a choice of what it is that you want. And when you make that choice, you have to stand on.
You have to fully stand on it.
You have to fully stand on and understand what comes with these things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We understood a long time ago that us talent multiplied with sacrifice and diligence and discipline will yield success.
Mm-hmm.
That is a formula that we knew a long time ago. So now that is why one would view us as successful. You get what I'm saying? So that is my advice. Understand the ins and outs of what is going to come with what it is that you think that you want to do. And if you can't see yourself doing it, I'm not gonna say it doesn't go anywhere, but if you see it, you are going to drive yourself
to get it.
If you see somebody else doing it, your motivation is only going to be contingent upon
their
desire of how far they're going.
Yeah.
I never really thought about it like
and
that.
And you limit it and you put a ceiling on your own. You stunt your own growth, essentially. So that would be my biggest advice. And I don't know, unfortunately, I don't have an answer to where I could say, oh, well, you know, take these vitamins or make this smoothie and no, seriously, like take these vitamins or drink this smoothie and it'll help you see these things clear. I don't know. Like God gave me the ability and my partner for us to have a vast imagination beyond, you know, it may be not necessarily making sense to the reality of somebody else, but it's confidence. It's like, bro, like I see myself doing this. I know what my skill set is. My skill set can contribute to this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because when you look at it, it's like, bro, as an artist, as a musician, it is our job to contribute.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That is our job, to contribute to the arts. The byproduct is money.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Yeah. But all of these things, like I was saying about the back pay, these are the things that make up for the time spent. It's the reward for the time spent. So it's a matter of what it is that you choose to do with it. But that's the only advice that I would have. Like you have to see it. You have to believe it. When nobody else does, if it's anything that I would have learned, anything that I would have, you know, done differently, probably, and no, I probably wouldn't have done it differently, but just being verbal about what your dreams are and thinking that everybody has your best interests. But I also come to learn that it's not that people don't have your best interests because they don't want to see you have something or they don't see it for you, but how could they see it for you and believe in you when
God hasn't given them that vision.
They haven't got to that point in their journey where they saw what their purpose
what they want.
Yeah, like I knew what my purpose was here as a child.
Same.
As a child, you know, some people don't get it until they're two divorces in or not. You know what I mean? Like, it comes in different ways.
All right now. No, if you're going to keep doing subliminals, send them at Ryan. Don't bring them over here.
You're not married?
No.
He's divorced. What he tried to do is not talk about me. Ended up talking about you.
Right. It's that April 15th thing. Because we twins. I get it. So either Ryan gonna catch straight or I'm gonna catch straight.
That's my twin name.
Okay.
You know what I appreciate?
Hey, man, we're twin.
Hey, twin.
Goddamn, twin.
You know what I appreciate about that? I
see you been to Atlanta a couple times.
I'll be out there.
How many times you been to the Cheetah?
I'll be out there, right? Goddamn, you know, man. What about that, man?
We can talk now.
I appreciate it because as a creative, mm-hmm. I found myself literally just, I think this past month, just trying to get back to a place of the childlike wonder that I had with these arts.
Yep.
You know, I don't know. I had to go back and watch old movies.
It's okay.
I had to go back and listen to music. I had to really engulf myself in the arts and all of that stuff because I was realizing what I wasn't seeing the stuff that I wanted. I was just seeing the money attached
to
it.
For sure.
So I had to kind of switch focus and all of that. But
I got some advice for you. I don't know. Well, not advice, but I think most artists go through that moment of needing clarity or needing to feel like they need to go back to the essence that once where they were once hungry. You know what I mean? I think a lot of artists, we begin to achieve things and then we look in the mirror and say, I don't feel that same hunger anymore. I'm now focused on making money. And it's just like, I think that one should focus on making money too. I think it's just understanding
the
balance.
I agree.
Now, What I've learned on my journey is because I've gone through that and I ask myself time and time again, as you grow older, you're not supposed to necessarily, I don't think that feeling is supposed to feel the same at 32 as it did at 19. And it would make me wonder, and it's like, yo, am I not as sharp as I used to be because these things don't feel like they once did? And it's like, I say that is not necessarily true. Mm-hmm. I think that you mature.
I agree.
You know what I mean? So it's like when I was younger, I was so eager to be able to, I was so eager to want to shout what my ideas were because all I had was my voice to convey the idea. But now that we have an infrastructure to funnel the idea
into
a product.
Into fruition. Yeah.
And now we get to see how people align with the product because the product is our idea, it's a different feeling. You get what I'm saying?
I get it.
It's not, I don't think it's meant to be this. I don't think the feeling is meant to necessarily be the same. And just because the feeling doesn't feel as sharp or as energetic as it once did, it doesn't mean that it's a bad idea. I think it just means that you have matured. You know what I mean? Because now I think it's a matter of what are you doing with these ideas?
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? Because as your business grows, you make more money. So now you're like, oh, well, Uncle Sam's going to take this money from me in taxes anyway, so I might as well.
What am I going to do with it?
I might as well make a charity or I might as well donate
to a
charity. You know what I mean? Or things of that nature. So
It is more than evident that you are a legend. And just a wealth of knowledge.
Sure.
And I don't think a lot of people understand that in real time.
They don't get it at all.
Yeah, and I think, like, Ryan knew, like...
I'm very, in a way, I'm trying to find the right word, but sometimes life don't even seem real with the circle that I have. The people that I've seen,
Thank you, Ryan.
No, but you're definitely, y'all are all a part of it. Mm-hmm. And for me, sometimes, y'all are my motivation. Not sometimes, all the time, because I'm in a place where what you just said hit me like crazy, because you were like, yo, you got to think about being there. You got to see yourself. So there's things that I've wanted in the past that
when
I was like, yo, I'm going
to
go get that.
It didn't even make sense to me.
Like, I'm going
to
get it. But I've never really sat down and be like, yo, picture yourself at that desk or at that whatever and be like, yo, this is what you're going to do. And when you said that.
And I don't mean being delusional.
Yeah, yeah. Don't be like, yo, I could see myself, you 35 and think you could get in a league. It's quiet, bro. Chill out. There's other things you can be. There's chill.
You can get in a league.
Not that one. A league of your own.
Right.
A league.
But you have to be realistic about what you're going for. But if there's something in my life right now that I truly believe that I really, really want.
Yes.
Once you said that, I never thought about it in a way. Like, I knew I could do the job. I know I can get it done very effectively. I know I can make this company a lot of money, and this can be very lucrative for me in my life. But I never really closed my eyes and pictured me doing the job. So when you said that, and then I realized over the past 8 to 10 years that I've known you, I've seen the steps you've took to go from just doing your bespoke jeans, like doing customizing them, and people, yo, I got 6 jeans this week. He was the first person I've ever seen post, I have six. I'm doing 6 jeans this week. Whoever DMs me their money, I'm doing your jeans.
I remember when I was doing New York A Love Story and seeing his stuff, and I was like, I was like, dang, I wanna try to cop a pants.
But to me, I don't know. This is my friend. This is just somebody I talked to doing a thing. But now I see the collabs, and you have every brand that everyone wears. Mm. You have a collab with one of them. Mm-hmm. And to see where you came from doing your own jeans to then to working at Bait. Mm-hmm. And me going in there, yo, to you having to pop up in by Last Lap over there. By the YMCA right around the corner. All these little things that I remember.
Because boy, that line right there.
It was nuts.
To see that line for somebody, like once again, like I told Ryan when Ryan said Janae, I was like, oh, you know that's my bops. I never met him, but I'm a fan. Like,
thank you, bro.
Like, I like the way he puts together fits. I like the stuff he's so it's like to see that
different,
and then hear the story, it all matches.
Thank you.
Right? Because sometimes you'll see that.
Most times it doesn't match.
See, yeah,
it
don't sometimes you'll be like, oh, he got a good
all.
Idea.
But
he's not a
he's really
he's
about
super
he's
shallow,
really like, about this fashion world. It's not about like, yo, that's hot. That's cool, but this is what I'm into. I agree, and I like what you like, and that's dope. Congratulations.
But I like
this is what I like, and this is what I'm going for, and this is what I'm going to put out. I don't care about what y'all like on the fact of, like, put that out. Nah, I'm going to put this out, and there's people that I'm that love what I do.
To my audience.
To his. Yeah. And his audience, some people might be, and it might not be your audience, but guess what?
Our audiences don't coexist anyway, so
I try and get across, and I'm somebody who lives, they'll tell you, like, to an unhealthy standpoint, I live off competition. Like, with podcasting, I had to realize, like, there's no competition, right? And I feel like that almost the same way with fashion, because as much as I love fashion, it's like,
it's your shit.
It's nobody can, it's so niche that the closet has enough space for your jeans and their jeans.
True.
And in podcasting, there's no, and maybe I'm wrong, because I'm just a fan of fashion, I'm a fan of very specific fashion, the elevated streetwear where we're blending these high-low materials, right?
Right.
Not the, so I don't know, maybe there is a competitive jean, but I knew with podcasting, I knew for a fact, I'm like, bro, if I go so hard trying to try and compete with these dudes, it's just gonna bring more attention to them.
Yeah.
And it's gonna take away from the energy I could be putting into this. Yeah, because there's enough, no matter how I feel about a podcast, how I feel about a project, whoever's gonna listen to them is still gonna listen to them.
That's a fact.
But they still gonna listen to us.
Agreed.
It's not TV.
Right.
It's not network TV where it's like, well, if they not watching Empire, they watching.
It's not six series at one time where you got to pick and choose. It's not that time.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, Miles. I think,
but you could also have only your jeans in the closet.
That's what I think. Because once again, I thought about when I said I was like, well, if you look at my jean closet, it's JE, it's denim tears, nudie. It's very specific. I don't just got everybody's jeans in my closet.
But it's geared to your taste and what you like.
Yeah,
you know. So, I think competition is healthy, but I think competition is only healthy when you're playing with somebody that wants to compete too. So it's like sparring.
It's if, like, you, if you punching up on somebody who's not punching back, is you're not
a bully.
You're a bully, and you're not even bigger than a bully. Yeah. You're not challenging yourself,
right?
Right? You're punching up somebody who they don't got their defense up, so you're not even trying to get around the defense. You're tough. Just punching somebody.
Get tough with a tough guy.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So I don't have a problem with competition, but I think in the fashion industry, it's so vast because in fashion you have true artists whose whole life is here to create and change and inspire, and if they get rewarded to the highest level from their contribution, then they'll take it. And if they don't, that's not going to stop
them. Yeah, they're fine either way.
They're
going to
be completely fine. Then you have people that are businessmen that know fashion a little bit, and they say, I know these numbers, and I know how to get this for cheap, sell it for the high, know how to market, da-da-da-da-da. It's a whole production of things. And then you have people like myself and my business partner.
Best of both worlds.
My business partner, he graduated from Emory, double majoring in art history and economics.
Jesus. So he knew he was going into business of art. He knew he was going into the art business.
It's like the most lethal combination one could have.
It's actually nuts.
And I went to school for econ. So
what's econ?
Economics.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry.
Shut up, Ryan. No, it's not. It's not you. It's Ryan. Shut up, Ryan.
You guys both came into this situation.
It's math, bro. It's like I was saying at
the math is going to math.
The math, like, it.
10 plus 10 is always going to be 20, baby.
Math is not about how you feel, bro. It's not about how you feel. You know what I mean?
Numbers are there.
So now when you get to balance the act of putting all of what you believe and you feel into it, and you can make the numbers make sense.
What's up?
Oh, yeah.
That's why this year looked how it looked. That's why.
Yes.
Wow.
And it looked how it looked off of all that. All
wow. Nah.
That's not me popping it. That's the truth.
Nah,
it's the truth,
that's
though.
Tough.
That's the truth.
But still, it's tough to say that. It's tough.
But you sacrificed 9 years for it. And that was tougher than saying it now on camera.
That's because there's somebody out there that saw you the release. That saw your last collab. Yeah. And that might be the first time they ever.
Absolutely.
Ever know about your butt.
Absolutely.
And they might think like, oh, it's a subsidiary under. Nah, nah, it's not. Because they don't know about what happened back in the past. Yeah. And sometimes it's not for them to know.
Nah.
Go get it when you get it, when you find out, when you find out.
If you hear now.
And cool. Also you can teach without, you know, making somebody feel
little
dumb. Small. Like, you know, me and T and I are friends. We're all friends. Like that's my dog, you know. We've collaborated together. So a lot, you're not the only person that thought that I worked for Denim Tears. Or work like
I thought you worked with. I didn't think you worked for. That was both. I knew about T, but I was like, oh, maybe Brick is the silent partner who's like exploded in 2021, in 2022, 2021.
It's that friend circle that. Like we said before, the big homies that wasn't looking out. This is the group that he's in. That's like, yo, all that other stuff that
we ain't gonna have to do.
We don't got to deal with that because I got mine, you got yours, and we're friends before anything. So if we can make it work, cool. If it don't, I'm gonna support you. You're gonna support me.
That's how, like, you know, that's how everybody became like. Well, not solely off of that, but that's why Japanese fashion was so cool because all the designers were really friends.
Were really cool.
Nigo.
Yeah. Nigo, Hiroshi, yeah. So on and so forth.
Even at last, I mean, even though Nigo's not there, that last Hiroshi bait collab. Mm-hmm.
It was all together. Oof. They all came together. Yeah. It's love.
They all had their stores in the area. They were all friends. So it's like, and they shared the same love. They shared the same love for the game. So like,
when do you see that happening right now with you, your contemporaries and other
fashions? I see that happening
with us and our teams, yeah. Like, dealing with, you know, working with Givenchy, working with T, and our dear friend that we collaborated with, Bradley Suelo at Black Means, and Kyle Pock at Homeboy. You know, we it's a bunch of people that we've collaborated with, but it all starts off of something organic, you know, because when you know over the 9+ years that we've spent building this thing, We've learned the resources and the process to get a hoodie made or the process to make a pair of pants. So it's like, if we want to get something made, we can get it made, sure. But what does it mean? How does the story get injected into this? Because everybody's making T-shirts, everybody's making pants. So it's like, is our walk of life meeting and our walk of life and our perspective meeting a fellow artist walk away from perspective. Do we like this? Do they like us? Can we find a middle ground, to say something that is important
to both of our audiences?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that the cross-pollination, as they call it in marketing, but yeah, like, so that's how a lot of things happen with us, and it has been an amazing year for us, and we stuck it out. But most importantly, we saw this, we dreamt it, we saw it. God gave us the ability to see the signs in front of us and give us the resources and give us the understanding of how to use and operate these resources, and meeting people and, you know, them showing us things and us actually using them for good and not for bad. So it's so many different pieces of the puzzle that had to click for this thing to be where it is now. And also, you know, just knowing how to answer the phone and talk to somebody and have a drink with somebody when it's not about money on the table. You know what I mean?
And it's tough.
Cultivating relationships. And I know as we get older, we often think where it's like, well, if they don't have anything for me, and it's just like, well, how do you meet new people? Because at the same time, don't you think that these people that have everything actually want to meet people that are human too? You know? So it's a two-way street to a lot of things. And it's just being organic, because yes, we can sit here now and I can be this one half of a design duo that has had an amazing year. But first, it just comes to being a good human and being a decent person. You know what I mean? Because I've learned, like, nobody – I think the worst thing that you can do to somebody isn't necessarily – no. I think the worst thing that you can do to a person is misuse them.
Ooh.
Not mistreat them, but misuse them. Because humanity is all about – well, a large part of humanity is – us using one another to uplift humanity. So it's just like, yo, bro, like, sometimes I get upset because it's like, wow, I wanted this person to do this. And it's just like, bro, you knew that person was not capable
of doing that.
That's not their skill set. That's why you go handle that, and that's why this is your job. You know what I mean? So it's just being able to understand your gift as a leader and understand who to use for what. Discernment, delegation. You know what I mean? So it's just things like that.
Well, like I said before, a clear walking wealth of knowledge, and I'm pretty sure we'll all be pulling from that again sometime soon. You know, hopefully, this isn't the last time you come next door.
Oh, next time we can actually have some fun and curse and all of that, you know.
Yeah, really let it fly.
We can let it fly.
Let it fly, because I've been on my best behavior.
You have been. I've
been trying.
Mouse, I've been proud of you, I'm very proud of you.
Salute to you,
Mouse. We know who the bad April 15th
Who's the potty mouth here?
Today?
Me.
Typically it's me.
Okay. I don't normally, like, in my normal day I don't curse. But then when I get here,
I wake up cursing.
And it's same. It's the little ones. It just be the little ones.
The little ones that catch you and be like,
I said that.
But yeah, like we said, we appreciate you. Please, of course. If they haven't put the pieces together on their own this entire episode, please, real quick, let the people know where they can find you, how they can support, what they can support, what's on the horizon, all that good stuff.
Unfortunately, I can't talk about what's to come, but keep watching.
That's a good sign, though.
And
to not be able to talk about it is a good sign.
That means the ink ain't dry yet.
I think that you'll like it. I think that you'll like it. I think that you'll love it. We greatly appreciate all the support.
Do you need three models?
Yeah, model.
I would love to.
We all wear like a
I'm not gonna lie.
We're not his type of models.
I'm not.
I could be. I got tattoos.
No.
I'm not even gonna lie to you.
No.
I'm not going to say no. All right.
You're going to say no.
I'm going to say no with more words than less. But.
How about this? When we go overseas and you're doing the runways.
Can we sit front row?
I
can get you in a row.
I didn't say in a row.
He said, I'll get you in a row. It's crazy.
I don't got nothing in my closet.
It has nothing to do with you.
Can I walk?
It has nothing to do with you, huh?
I don't want to walk. Ryan can walk.
You can't walk.
I can't walk.
You're not tall enough.
I'm
sorry. Yeah.
How did that feel? How did that feel? Hurt my whole life. How did that feel?
Can't get the boots?
It didn't come from a
place of boots. Can't get the boots?
I don't know if we making boots that season.
But when they come out.
I know. That's why I ain't asked them out. I knew I wasn't tall.
Print?
Oh, I could do print. All three of us print? We good money.
Print is modeling.
True.
Like, I don't, but it's not having to do with height. I don't got nothing to do with height.
You acting real different.
I'm not trying to.
You acting real different.
No, he's like, I'm the same. No. I was going to tell you no when I first started.
No, let me tell you something.
There's nothing different here. It was no before you thought about it. It's no after.
What I've had to learn, though, because on a serious note, like in my younger days.
Can't put everybody on.
No. It's not about you can't. You can help people where they need help. Yes, true. Absolutely. True. But in fashion, from what I observed through my journey, it is extremely visual oriented. You know what I mean? And this has nothing to do with one being tall or one being short, one being dark, one being light. But how people see things, especially clothes, for the first time.
It has to be a specific way.
It burns. It's burned in their brain as to how they will see it and perceive it.
You're probably used to that.
Forever.
All day.
You know what I mean? I don't think it's a black or white thing, but it's just certain things. It's like, yo, bro, like it might be a whack rapper, right?
Yeah.
Or you think he's whack.
He's probably whack.
Or you heard him in a car, right? You heard him in a car riding with Rock.
But you hear him in a club, it's different.
Not even you hear him in a club. You hear him in a car with bro, and you're like, I ain't really jacking this, but I'm riding his car, whatever. Get to the crib, turn the TV on. Bro got MTV Jam of the Week.
The video's crazy.
Song is still trash. It's still trash. I'm not convincing you to not like him based on where you saw him. But I will say subconsciously, I bet that you put a different level of respect on it now based on
the
to where it's gone.
The visual entry. Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So that's all I say there.
We're not good vehicles for your initial.
I don't think that it's not that true. No, I don't think that it's not your good vehicle.
Can you style me at your show?
I think that you guys have an amazing ability to be a part of the puzzle. It may not be the first piece of the puzzle,
but it could be a part of
the last piece of the puzzle.
All I know.
But
Bring it down. There we go. That's it.
I like that. Nothing you said has offended me to where I'm not going to keep wearing this stuff. So, no, sure.
And I'm a single.
Jay Prince fingers.
What's going on, everybody? This is Tristan Mack Wilds, and I don't know about you guys, but it's a Martell night for me. Now, whether it's a chill Martell Blue Swift kind of night or a more special Martell Cordon Blue night, I'm going to go with the brand that's been redefining conventions for over 300 years. Martell Cognac. Soar beyond the expected.
Bang.
I'm going to sing some.
Bang, bang.
Oh, you got to say stuff. But let me just, you know, we took off the thing. Yeah, tell them where.
Ain't nothing to talk about. I'm going to say
that. Tell them.
You said no choices.
I'm still trapped. Still me. I got to figure out what I can figure out.
And you can find us at bistroy.us, bstroy.us. And our website is the same, www.bstroy.us.
You're the only person that I've met in probably the last 5 years that remembers to say the www.
Yeah.
It's necessary. Like, yo, meet me at da.
He wants the business.
I grew up watching podcasts and shit like Howard Stern and shit like that.
Very, very right there.
Hey, get it off. Like,
well, Brick, we appreciate you.
It's not a problem.
Until the next time, my boy.
Another one. Love.
I'm a see you in the Lambert. Goddamn, man. Goddamn.
Where you wanna go?
We out.
Ooh.
We out.
Blue Flame, you heard?
And until then, in the meantime, in between time, we will see y'all on Monday. Hopefully same time, give
we'll
a take. But we'll be here.
We'll be here.
We'll definitely be here. And that's for sure. Happy Black History Month. Hey!
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues. your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.